We are going through Psalms 42 today. Tommy has already read it, but I'm going to ask Connor. I'm going to go through the scripture verse by verse today. So as I'm talking about the verses, if you just want to pop them up and leave them up there, that'll work. I'm not going to make us read through the whole thing again. Let us pray once more, and we'll enter God's word together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful, blessed day you've given us. We know there's all kinds of things going around, but we have safety in you. You are our rock and our salvation. We thank you for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we begin, as we look at Psalms 42 this morning, we can likely attribute the psalm to David. I know sometimes we look at the beginning or end of the psalm, there's some additional words, but I really do think this one can be attributed to David. It has all the identity of being one of David's psalms, even though it doesn't have his name on it. This was likely wrote during one of the more difficult times of his life, perhaps when he was fleeing from Absalom, his son, though we can't really be certain. As Christians, we all go through times of difficulties, some trials being more severe than others. I think these trials can be a true testament to our Christian character when we go through them. As we reflect on David's words in the Bible this morning, I think we can also learn from his response to the trial he was going through at that time. We're going to work through the psalm verse by verse. Doing so, I do a lot of the prep at my other work, so I used an online, the Blue Letter Bible and some notes from Spurgeon as I help prepare it. So let's begin with verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for, As the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? How much do we really desire God in our life? Do we only pray in times of difficulty, or do we daily commune with God? Do we have the habit of spending time with Him? This summer, since my wife's home with the girls, she's actually been waking up earlier than she normally does in the summer. Usually I'm gone off to work and then she'll get up, but this summer she's doing it differently. She is waking up earlier so she can have her own quiet time, and then she can have that done before she has both our daughters work through some devotionals. This is very important to her. I even took time about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, or I went to one of those used bookstores. I took a drive specifically for that to get some devotional materials for the summer at a cheaper price. Habits like a daily quiet time show that you are continually seeking God. So as the psalm begins, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. What is it like to be thirsty? You know, my boys, they're both working out, playing soccer. And oftentimes, when they're done with their workout or playing soccer out in the field, they can drink a lot of water. I'm surprised how much they can put away. I know there have been times when I've sweated and worked hard, and I've had to put some liquids in me so I won't pass out. Is your thirst for God like this in life? In the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, they begin, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Do you thirst for God like this? Do you humble yourself, realize you cannot do it on your own, and seek God to be your king? Only those who recognize their need for God can be filled by His Spirit. We need to give God room not only to be in our life, but to be in control of our life. Looking at the life of David, I think he's a good example of one who knew his need to let God control his life. Even as David went through trials and suffering, he could recognize these things as God allowing them in his life. This thought from verse 1 continues into verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. It doesn't come through in translation, but could perhaps be rewritten. My soul thirsts for Elohim, the living El. Okay. In a country with idols and surrounded by the idolatry and gods of many nations, David thirsts for the true God of gods, not some idol pretending to be God. And while we may not go around worshiping false idols, there are many things that distract us and take us away from time well spent with God. Media exposure, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, others, even along with television, all take away from time spent with God and in His Word. Addiction to media, even something I struggled with. I dropped Ethan off at Montreat last night. Kevin went with me to get some driving practice in. And while we're waiting outside the restaurant for dinner up there at Montreat, the three of us were all on our phones. All the other families were out talking, but we were addicted to our phones. So it's something that easily happens in our lives. And that addiction to our phones, media, busyness in life, these things prevent us. They keep us from having these quiet moments when we can seek and hear God. Verse 2 continues, "When shall I come and appear before God?" These words, perhaps these words reflect when David was fleeing from Absalom, and there was something that prevented him from being able to join with others in worship. If not from Absalom, it could have been when he was fleeing from Saul. I think there's a greater case for Absalom, and we'll hit that in the next verse. But what does this part of the verse teach us? It teaches us that if we belong to God, then we should seek to be together with fellow believers. We should want to be in the house of God. There is something to be said about one's relationship with God if there's not a desire to be in worship with others on a regular basis. There are times here at our church when attendance drops on any given Sunday, especially that first Sunday after school lets out. We're kind of empty then. We still had a lot of people here. We're missing a lot of people. So when that summer vacation, summer season hits, it's okay. It happens. And I know that many of you, when you are not here, you attempt to listen in. However, when there are good reasons not to be in church on any given Sunday, does your heart miss the cooperative fellowship and worship that comes from being around fellow believers? I know during COVID, when we always didn't regularly meet, some of you really missed those moments. Some of us, though, when we're on vacation, should likely be looking for a local church to attend. Yes, it's great to listen online, but some of us need to be going to a local church. Excuse may be that, oh, God's going to forgive us for missing a Sunday. Yeah, He will. Or, if I go to that church, I don't know that pastor and his doctrine. Well, we should know the Bible well enough as Christians to recognize false teaching. In a country with freedom of worship, it is easy to find excuses not to worship. Verse 3 reads, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" In 2 Samuel 16, 5-14, we can read about when David flees from Absalom, and on the way, Shimei, one of Saul's relatives, gives him trouble. Verse 5 in 2 Samuel 16 reads, "When King David came to Bahurim, there came a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And as he came, he cursed continually. And he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said as he cursed, 'Get out of here, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is in you, for you are a man of blood.' Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, 'Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and take off his head.' But the king said, 'What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord has said to him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so?' And David said to Abishai and all his servants, 'Behold, my own son seeks my life. How much more may this Benjaminite? Leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me, and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today. So David and his men were on the road, while Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and flung dust. And the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary at the Jordan, and there he refreshed himself. Can you imagine David in this situation? David is in a time of grief. One of his sons whom he loves, seeks his life, wants to kill him. Well, I don't think my kids have ever wanted to kill me. You know, I haven't asked, don't plan to. They have put me in times of grief and depression. And while all of us as parents love our children, there are times that our souls hurt and grieve over their choices. Going back to David and thinking about him writing this psalm and what we just read about in Kings, can you imagine someone just throwing words and physical stones, rocks, pebbles at you all day long? Enough that someone wants to step in and do something about that. David is in a time of grief. The next phrase of this verse, where is your God? It is those without a relationship with God that ask such questions. Those who are Christians know and acknowledge that God allows trials in one's lives, often to make them stronger. Our trials, whatever they may be, allow us to speak later when others are going through the same thing. Where is our God? Our God is here. He has always been here, and our God will always continue in the future to be with us. As we move on to verse 4, it says, these things I remember. As I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping the festival. David's memories of God's faithfulness in the past help sustain him in the present. This idea is repeated in later verses. The commentary that I was going through remarks that David might be remembering a pilgrimage he went through. I think there's a strong case for it. As I was thinking about this, it could be his memory of when he brought the ark to Jerusalem. I think there's good cases for both of those. Thus, we can see as David feels the persecution of his enemies, he is reminded of memories of the past when he was joyful in God. His past experience relieves his present condition. Remember when Yoon Jung and I were going through her visa process to come to the United States. I had already come here, met the church, and I flew back to Korea for her in-person interview, and we were denied the visa. I thought I had all the paperwork and everything right, but we didn't. So I left Yoon Jung there and brought Wendy by myself. The other kids were already here. We didn't know how long it would take. And the process to get what was wanted from the U.S. Embassy was not pleasant. However, at that time, our present walk with God and knowing his faithfulness in the past sustained us. It didn't mean it was easy. It wasn't. It was a time of grief in our lives. Yet we knew God would work it out. When you go through such times and there doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel, remember how God has blessed you, how he has sustained you in the past. Though we live in a dark and sinful world, he keeps his promises to God. Continuing on in verse 5, we can read, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Here David is talking to himself. He is sharing his emotions, and he's not afraid of them. Perhaps as he's going through the difficulty, he's saying to himself, God has allowed this to happen, so it is okay. God has no problem with us when we're being emotional to him. He already knows what we're thinking and we're feeling. So sometimes it is just good to get it out. Even at times, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to say. Many people want to escape from their emotions. Drinking, drugs, social media. People do so to drown out their feelings. So again, as David responds to his internal angst here, he turns to God. He says that God is his hope, his salvation, and that he will praise him. How many times have we not wanted to go to church? I've had days like those. And doing so, we come to church, we worship together in praise, and we become reminded of who God is, and our emotions become reset. When we worship God, even when we don't feel like it, we're able to step back, we're able to let go, forgive, gain a new perspective on our difficulties. Even this past year for me, I've had some difficulties. The encouragement that comes from fellowship when we're here together, when I'm talking with other Christians, other members of our church, these things help me realize that I'm not going through these trials alone. And as a church, you have helped sustain me, probably in more ways than many of you realize, as I've gone through some challenges. David continues in these verses in verse 6. And verse 6 says, "My soul is downcast, is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizmar." David has his Ebenezer, so I'm glad we sang that song this morning. It's one of my favorites. Reminiscent of 1 Samuel 7:12, when Samuel set up a stone of remembrance before they went to the battle, the Philistines. What are David's Ebenezers? First, in the land of Jordan, David is remembering when the Israelites crossed the Jordan River and the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham and his descendants. Of Hermon, this can be thought of to be the defeat of the Amorites in Joshua 12, verses 1 and 2, as they continue to have conquest of the land. God gave the enemies into the hands of the Israelites. And last, from Mount Mizmar, a location near Mount Sinai, where the law was given. David was a person who felt joy in both God's law and promises made to the nations of Israel. Do you feel joy in God's law and promises? Do you feel assurance and safety in them? We all should have our Ebenezers in life. For me, my stones of remembrance include when I went to a summer camp in elementary school, and I understood my need for Jesus and was ready to give my life to him. Another would be when I went to university for my undergraduate. So when I went to Southwest Baptist University and I arrived on campus for the first time, growing up in Massachusetts and Missouri being far away, I had never visited this school before I went there for orientation. But it became a place where God would grow me and mold me as I received a higher education. Another one, before I left California, and went to Korea, I was given a dream, one that was fulfilled in meeting and marrying my wife several years later. God is one who keeps his promises. When we remember God's faithfulness, it is a little easier to go through our difficulties. What are your stones of remembrance? Do you remember when God called you to be his child? Maybe there's someone who God brought into your life. Could even be the birth of a child. There's nothing like the birth of a child to understand God's role in creation and blessing. Perhaps you went through a trial or some other suffering, and afterward, like Job, you understand better your relationship with God, and you've learned to rely on God more. Because you understand God always keeps his promises and God always takes care of his children. We have a great relationship with God. We don't fear God in his retribution as children, but we have a God who wants and desires us to have a full and meaningful life. Verses 7 and 8 continue. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I'm reminded of Elijah, even though this hasn't happened yet in the Bible, if we think historical process of David's writing. After the defeat of the prophets of Baal, when he runs from Jezebel. When we think about Elijah, God was not in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. God was in the still, small voice, a whisper. A hurricane, like the one we went through last fall, has very destructive power. At times, God allows suffering in our lives. Note here in the verses, whose waterfalls? Your waterfalls, meaning God's waterfalls. Your breakers and your waves. God allows these things to mold us like the clay we are into the person he wants us to be. Just like fruit trees need to be trimmed and pruned to produce more fruit, so we also need God's work in our life to change us. David was overwhelmed, but it was not more than he could handle. Likewise, God may allow trials up to our limit, but not more than we can endure. David found God by day and by night. He communed with him by prayer. Do you have a time of quiet? Do you make an effort to make room for God? We talked about this in verse 2. One of my challenges in life is getting up in the morning. Now, my wife would say, no, that's not one of my challenges, but honestly, it is. I would love to be in bed till at least 6:30 in the morning. I can make it to work every day, where I work at Sistel, by getting up at 6:30. However, I get up at 6 o'clock each day. Summer, sometimes I push it to 6:10, as I don't have to help get the kids out the door. And I get up at 6 every day, so I can take time to do my daily Bible reading and devotion after my morning shower. Still have to wake up before I get into God's Word. I'd rather not get up when I do, but I do so most mornings, not necessarily with joy. Again, 6 is way too early for me, but with a knowing dependence on my relationship with God. Dependence knowing that I need to be in his word so I can have his sustenance to sustain me throughout the day. As we get through these last three verses, we're going to speed up because there's some repetition. Verses 9 and 10 go together and they read, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? The last statement, a question, is a repeat from verse 3. Again, we shouldn't be afraid of our feelings and sharing them before God. As he already knows the numbers of hairs on our head, and for some of us, the lack of hairs on our head, he already knows what we are feeling. Since he knows your feelings, be honest and share your thoughts with him. We can and should talk with God, both in good times and bad times. The more we talk with him in the good times, the easier it will be to seek him in the bad times. The good habits of fellowship with him in the good times will help us to have a better and positive attitude in the bad times. Times when we want to run away from ourselves and our feelings. Times when we might feel we want to respond sinfully when someone has wronged us. Times when we might be unhappy with the consequences of our own sin in our lives. Verse 11 repeats verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Again, David questions himself, and his response is his hope is in God. Our hope is not a hopeless hope. Our hope is promise fulfilled. Our God is the true and living God. Our God is the one who keeps his promises. As God is the perfect, loving, our God is the perfect, loving, and heavenly Father who will never fail us. So we conclude, I don't know how God has been speaking to you today. Only you truly know that. Perhaps you're like David and going through a trial. Let this psalm be a reminder of how God keeps us through difficulties, and a lesson of how to find hope and strength in the midst of trials. If you don't feel like you're experiencing any difficulty now, let this psalm be a reminder of the importance of a daily walk with God, because we will all go through trials and temptations. We live in a fallen, sinful world. It's going to happen. Also, as God's children, He is going to mold us and make us into who He desires us to be. Learn how to have a daily walk with Him and line up your remembrances, your Ebenezers, so that you have reminders of God's promises for any dark and difficult days that may come in the future. Like I said, I'm not sure how my exposition, my going through these verses today, has helped or encouraged you. I chose this psalm because I like the praise song that has been developed from it. I'm surprised we didn't sing it this morning, as I know you often go through what the verses for the scripture could be, but that's fine. We got the Ebenezer, so that worked. But I chose this psalm because I like this praise song that's been developed from it. It has a nice melody, and frankly, none of the other elders or pastors covered this psalm previously. So I said, well, I guess I'll choose this one. So if nothing else, perhaps the next time you hear and sing that praise song from Psalms 42, you'll be encouraged by it by having learned more about this psalm. I know when I was able to tie our hymn that we sang this morning and understood its relation to 1 Samuel 7:12, how much more meaning that had for me. So hopefully, as we've gone through this psalm today, when you encounter this praise song again, you'll come to it with a more rich and meaningful. So hopefully that is the minimum this scripture has encouraged you, and perhaps maybe it has encouraged you even more. Let us go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us here and for meeting today. We thank you for your words of scripture. We're also thankful for those who have set a lot of your scripture to music, so when we hear and sing, we can be reminded, encouraged by your words. Be with us today as we continue in Sunday school, and be with us as we go forth, especially as we have one of our mission trips coming up this week. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.